Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
You got to talk about this guy. He's the Hogs' all-time leading scorer. He's an All-American and helped lead the Razorbacks to three consecutive Southwest Conference regular season championships, plus three straight tourney championships. Made the NCAA tournament every year he played. Second round in 89, Final Four in 90, Elite Eight in 91, and second round in 92. He's the head coach of Philander Smith College. Let's go to the Hodges Glass Hotline. No, that's okay. Good morning, Todd Day. How are you, buddy?
All right, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Man, we are doing great. I want to say first, congratulations. I think I saw this correct. Was this year your best winning percentage year at Philander since you've been there since 2016?
Yeah, it was. We had a great year. Really kind of disappointing at the end.
Yep.
Had the conference tournament here at our place, number one seed, and just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, I know that was frustrating. Not only to be there, I think you were 16-7 or 16-6 on the regular season. I know that's disappointing. Obviously, you know, you've had, I'm sure in high school you won at the highest level, and obviously you did in college and in the pros too. So I know as a coach it's the exact same thing. You're frustrated that the year doesn't continue.
Yeah, I was more frustrated for my seniors. You know, they worked hard to get where we were. They've been through a lot of turmoil to try to turn this program around to help me do it. They did, and I just wanted them to get to the big dance. But, you know, we had a successful season. We ended up winning the conference, so they'll be able to get a ring on their way out.
That's very nice. We have Justin Moore on the show now, Todd, and we were talking about, we found out, he told us before, but he reminded us today, that he wears number 10. He wore number 10 in high school, and all of his kids wear number 10 because of you. And so, Justin, I want to give you the opportunity to visit with Todd about that that exposure you had to him as a young man, how it still resonates today with number 10.
Oh, yeah, Todd, great to talk to you, buddy. And, yeah, man, I mean, I was the kid in the yard. I was Todd Day, and my buddy was Lee Mayberry, you know, when we were counting down, you know, Moore gets the ball, 5-4, you know. So it was, yeah, man, really appreciate the great memories, and it was a joy to watch you play for sure.
Man, I really appreciate that. Man, nothing more, you know, exciting about being a Razorback than being able to influence young people as, you know, as a teenager. You never knew what impact that you had.
That's fact.
Just out there having fun, just trying to make sure that you put on for your city and your school. And, you know, once you get older, you realize what you did for a lot of other people, man. It just gives you gratitude. So I really appreciate that.
Well, obviously, you think about that now because of what Justin just said. Was that something that Coach Richardson would did it start with Richardson? Did it start in high school where somebody would say, look, you're going to be getting into a different group of ball players. You're going to go on to the next level. What you do and what you say could impact young folks. Did that happen, Todd?
Yeah, I think, you know, my dad, you know, was one of the big guys on that. But, you know, still as a kid, you don't see it. You know, you're just out there having fun, and you hear people scream your name, so you just want to do whatever you can to make them excited. And,
well, you did that.
No, it's just one of those things where you just, you know, maturity always allows you to see things you don't see as a youngster.
Right on. Before we get to the Razorbacks matchup against Vermont and what you think there, I want to go back. You know, you were the first group of guys that really took Nolan's his program to the next level in 89, your second round, and I mentioned Final Four in 90. What is the sort of the memory that stands out to you about those times when you guys would go from the regular season, then you'd go down to Dallas and win that thing, and then go to the NCAA? What's the sort of thing, the couple things that jump out to you memory-wise?
Well, I just left Dallas this weekend with took my son and granddaughter and my mom to watch the AAC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
My good friend Penny Hardaway was there.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to my son that, like, this is not a conference tournament.
Yes.
<that's, laughs> like, if you would have been in Dallas, man, we had fans from the hotel all the way to the arena. We couldn't get in the arena.
Yeah, I mean, that.
Couldn't come out of the hotel room as a, you know, 18-year-old kid. You get swamped. So, I mean, you know, those guys were just walking around, you know, maybe two or three autographs. I was like, nah, I was trying to explain to my son, when I was in college, you couldn't come out the room. It was like really like being in jail when you was in any kind of tournament.
Oh.
You couldn't come out of your room other than practice and go to get something to eat.
Yeah, it was, Todd, I remember I went to a couple of those. It was sort of like Big Blue is Kentucky, the way they travel.
Yeah.
I mean, Arkansas dominated those arenas, and just you guys rolled, again, three straight tournament championships there. What was there definitely a different mindset? One of the things I used to cover, I was working for Channel 4 for a couple of those years, but I remember watching Nolan. And even in the warm-ups, man, in the NCAAs, he would run you guys, and I mean, he would put on a show even during practice. So did he just have a different mindset once you went from regular season conference tournament to the NCAAs?
Man, Nolan was a big teddy bear, man. That was all a facade. All a facade. When he knew the cameras was out,
yep.
He always made sure that we had a hard, tough practice. You know, he wanted everybody to know what we really did behind the scenes. So, at that time, we were one of the only few teams who played that style of ball.
Yep.
So he wanted to make sure that everybody saw it. So when we went to the 45-minute shoot-arounds, that they had the NCAA tournament, man, we would have a full-out practice. But people wouldn't know the day before we did our shoot-around.
Yeah, right, so yeah.
We would just do it backwards. We would shoot around first, and when we got in front of the cameras, we would just try to put on a show. You know, everybody on the team knew how much what we were doing was going to add to Coach Richardson's legacy and what he deserved as a coach. So, we always took that in mind when we hit the floor.
He was always recruiting with that camera on.
Always.
Yeah.
There was a lot of kids at our back then that wanted to play our style. Up north and those kind of guys weren't really playing, the up-tempo style of basketball that we were playing. So, I think that was the one thing that really, got him noticed all over the country was the style of play.
Shifting gears a little bit, I wonder what you think about what the job Coach Musselman's done, not specifically this year, just overall his first three seasons. I'd be curious to know your thoughts on him and the program right now.
Man, I'm really proud of what he's done so far. I think he gave us what we really needed right after Nolan, and that was the change of style of play. He brought more of a pro NBA style of basketball to Fayetteville, and we've been used to the college, the pressing, the picking up full court, just the running around, the chaos from Mike, and he brought up more of a structured NBA style of basketball. Double teaming their best player, just all the things that people do in the NBA that he's learned from his dad and his coaching ability. Throughout the time in the NBA, he's brought it to the college game, and I think it's great for Arkansas.
Awesome.
I know you. I know obviously you've been dealing with your own team, I'm presuming you've had enough chance now to look at the bracket. Obviously, you dealt with that for 4 years as a player. Do you like where Arkansas landed? What do you think of Vermont, UConn, Gonzaga in that same bracket?
I'm not happy with that at all. Like, they had a better year, I thought. I think they slighted the SEC. I think Tennessee should have been the number one. Mm-hmm. Their body of work over the whole season is impeccable. So, I think, they're still stuck on the OA, ACC, that kind of stuff. But the SEC had the best basketball in the country this year, along with the Big 12. So, it's just a tough draw, man. But the NCAA tournament, anything can happen. Every time we were favorite and thought we would get there, we never made it. When we didn't think we were going to make it, we made it. So you never know when you're playing. But drawing Gonzaga out west is tough.
Todd, I was going to ask if you had to give one word of advice. Obviously you've been a coach, you were in the league for a long time. You went to four NCAA tournaments. What would be the word of advice you would give to this Razorback team as they get ready for Vermont and with the expectation to go deep in the tournament?
Man, one game at a time, one tournament at a time. The NCAA tournament is a different tournament each weekend. So just going in your mindset this weekend, we'll take care of Vermont. We'll worry about our next opponent next time.
Yeah.
But try not to look ahead, even if somebody else is lose. I can remember my senior year, we played I can't remember who we played the first round, but the second round, my junior year, we wanted to play Indiana so bad. We wanted to play Bob Knight. Bob Knight and Coach Richardson had a thing going with each other. And we really wanted to play them. We get amped up. We knew they were going to win. And Kansas ended up beating them.
Right.
And it kind of took the fire out of what we were trying to accomplish. And Kansas came out and snubbed us.
Yeah.
So you just got to take one game at a time. Don't try to look ahead.
Todd, I don't think we've talked to you since the NIL has taken effect. I don't know. What's your comments on the NIL? How's that affecting the ball game? Would that have made a difference with you guys?
I think it was 30 years too late.
It should make it retroactive.
Yeah, I think it's 30 years too late. I don't even think I would have went to the NBA if they had NIL. I'd have stayed in college as long as I could.
I know, that's right. You know what, speaking of...
It changed the game, man. It's, it's life, man.
Yeah, right.
The guys with the money, They make the best deals. That's just how life goes.
You know, Todd, and you're on the other end of it now. So you know now more than you could probably say. You know what? Well, yeah, man, it is 30 years too late. Because, in fact, all of the things that were happening, all the coaches could do, whether it be football or basketball, they could go anywhere they wanted to and do all of those things. And you guys had to re-sign that 4-year scholarship every single year. So it wasn't guaranteed for none of you guys, and you damn sure wasn't going to be able to go from one team to another and play the following year.
I couldn't imagine, us losing to Duke and next year one of us is playing for Duke.
Right. I know.
Yeah. Could not imagine that. Well, and with the NIL and all that's going on, and I know there's been talk about not just retro, but jerseys and numbers. If there were to be, what is that deal, Baz, when they were talking about getting one jersey and say it's that guy's,
how do you split up the
numbers between you?
Number 10 and the boothead. Jalen Williams right now.
Right, yeah. Jalen and boothead and you. How do you split that sort of thing up? And then if we don't split it up, because number 10 should be in the rafters because of you.
Put it in the rafters.
Should be in the rafters.
I agree with it. I think I've done enough, But, hey, there's been a lot of great players to wear that number.
I know.
I've heard that over the years, but, I tell them none of them are Todd Day.
And I don't know if it's tough for you to even say things like that. You can be humble and we can be all those things, but truth is truth. And when we do those sort of things, which brings me to this, Nolan, did he use a little bit of motivating you guys? Man, it's us against the world. They don't show us any respect. They don't do this. They don't do that. Do you use any of that in your coaching? And do you think about that when your number is not retired, being the all-time score?
And as far as the coaching aspect, yeah, we do at our program. We feel like we're a smaller program. So it is kind of us against the world. As far as the jersey thing, man, to hear guys like Justin tell their stories, it means a lot more to me than putting it up there. Putting it up in the rafters is something that I would want my family to enjoy more than me.
No doubt.
When I'm not here, I want my granddaughter to be able to say, my granddad did that.
That's right.
He was part of that. So
that's right.
Love that I get from this state, man, it means nothing.
I believe that. The older we get, the more we do that. Last thing from me. What does your granddaughters call you? What do your grandkids call you?
Right now, I'm dad, but I'm not a dad. She can't say papa.
Okay. Is that what it's going to be? Is it going to be papa?
Yeah, I'm going to be papa.
Right on, papa.
I love it.
Well, go ahead, Jason.
Go ahead. I'll say off topic. We've had the debate on here, Todd. Who would win between you guys, best team?
No hesitation.
I figured that might be the answer.
Seriously, I'm just really stating facts. Like, the 94 team, they were great. They had Big Nasty in the middle, but Oliver Miller, he would neutralize that.
Looking around
at the other four players, we have four pros. We have three first rounders and one guy that goes the first pick in the second round.
All right.
Have you told this to the Big Nasty?
You do the math.
They just put the ring in my face.
That's what they do. That's awesome. Ring in your face.
You know what? And I saw a TikTok or an Instagram or something the other day where it was just real quick about Michael Jordan coming up on Magic. And Michael looked at him and said, "Man, we go right now, one on one, me and you."
So one on one, that's it.
One on one.
Before I let you go, Todd, we're visiting with Todd Day, by the way, on the Hodges Glass Little Rock Glass Hotline. He's the head coach at Philander Smith since 2016. I wanted to ask you, speaking of number 10, Jalen Williams, if you can, give me your thoughts on Jalen Williams, who's obviously wearing the same number you did, and J.D. Notte, who is the equivalent of obviously you for this team. He's the scorer on this group. Your thoughts on both those guys?
And you think Jaylen's
Jaylen's an awesome player, man. I think he's great inside. He's a great defensive player as well on the inside. And J.D. Notte, man, he is a dog. I love him.
Does he have an NBA future, you think, Todd?
Oh, definitely. Anybody that can score the ball, you have a future. You know, you have a future. He can score the ball, you know, inside and out. He's strong. Got a great IQ. And he's already playing in the NBA style offense. So that'll be attractive for people who are in the draft stock.
I think that's what Justin called him, a dog or dude or a little bit of everything.
Well, I am so glad. You know, I'd forgotten. I think Justin had told us, Todd, about he was the reason he wore number 10 and all of his kids today that wear number 10, the trickle down from your influence. And you're right. You know what?
Hey, they've seen video of Todd Day. They know who Todd Day is.
But I love what Todd said, though. You know what? You know, because Roger asked a question about having the jersey hung. I'm with you, Todd. That's the greatest compliment you can get. It's not having your jersey hung. It's that the memory is in all these kids, and it's being passed down to their kids.
I'm in no way of implying that Todd is doing it, but we get older and we do that, that's what we want. We want our families to enjoy some things. And let's be honest, he's all-time leading scorer. Yeah. So, you know, that's where it is.
Yeah, right? And I think it'll happen sometime.
I'm not going to put out a Twitter that don't say that no more.
Todd, we appreciate you jumping on with us. And obviously, you've got so much experience in the NCAAs and continued success. Congratulations on the strong year at Philander Smith.
Yeah.
Man, I thank you very much. And, guys, keep doing what you're doing. We love your show, man. Go home.
Thanks, Todd.
Go home.
Thanks for the memories, Todd Day.
That's a Todd Day. Todd was a dog.
I love it. I love the fact that he has no hesitation at all.
Didn't even let me finish the question.
No, he
didn't.
I love it. There is no doubt on that. I'm wondering, and next time we get him on, we'll have to ask him. We'll look up the numbers and see between all the Razorbacks, whether it be Corliss, Scotty, any of them that have been head coaches, who's got the best record of coaching?
Yeah, that's
well.
You know what just hit me too? We got to do this. Now, Justin, I don't want you to back down 1 minute when I say this. We've got the challenge between you and Joe Klein for Horse, but what about with your idol number 10?
No brainer.
What about you versus Todd Day in a game of Horse?
Yeah, why don't we play one on one? I'll play with one hand tied behind my back.
That would be great. You could beat Todd Day.
But we get to play one.
You could beat Todd Day. Yeah, sure. I could beat the all-time leading scorer at the University of Arkansas.
You might. You could have a hot day.
You know what? Todd Day, Todd Day's calling right back, going to put him on. I'll take on Corliss. I'll take on any one of you, boy.
The way he answered that question it contributed to how he played. I mean, he played that way. Like, I'm the best dude on the floor.
Yeah, he did.
And I'm about to prove it to you.
Yeah, that's right.